I want to take our lesson this morning from this from the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians. There are people like me that go to the end of the book and read and all that stuff. But Ephesians, the sixth chapter, is the conclusion of a most wonderful, wonderful sermon of message that the Apostle Paul covered the whole spectrum of our Christian walk and both not only in doctrine but practice and the things that we have. And we come to the conclusion of these things, and I want to read for you. If you have your scriptures with you this morning, you may turn to the sixth chapter of Ephesians, and we will read from verse 10 down through verse 20. So you can read with me. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in an evil day, the evil day, having done all to stand, stand. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. For I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." The Apostle Paul, in another place, he says, "Pray for me that the word of the Lord may have free course, and that I may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." And here he says, "Pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mysteries of the gospel." When a minister gets up and he asks you to pray for him, he's not just saying that; he means it, because prayer is our communication line with the Father. But we could take each one of these pieces of this armor and preach 35, 40 minutes on each one. We don't have that time this morning, but I want to give you a kind of an overview of what's going on in this closing points of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians. What is an armor? First of all, what is an armor for? He says, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God." An armor, as all of us know, is that which we wear in battle. So the very fact that we have to put on an armor gives us an idea that we may be in for a fight. The sister asked you about the our servicemen and women. They train. Brother Gene back here has been in, and I'm sure you've been, I don't know if you've been in combat, but you've been to basics, or you couldn't get there. Afghanistan twice, two tours. He knows what battle's about. Soldiers, and by the way, that's what an armor. We don't put on an armor just, you know, we find these armors out in the places that people have worn, and you always think about an armor of Sir Lancelot and all those guys. This armor that we're going to put on is not a physical piece of armor, but the examples that he gives here, the metaphors and examples that he gives, this is an armor that is to be worn by a Christian soldier. We are soldiers in the Lord's army. We are His by choice, and we're His by purchase. And so when we look at this from the standpoint of the armor, He says, "Put on the whole armor of God." Now, the word "whole" indicates that it needs to all be worn. No, we don't put on a piece of today of this and put on another piece tomorrow. And I'll say I'll wear my helmet tomorrow, but I don't think I need my helmet today. Or it's kind of nice in here. I walk around without shoes all the time in the house. But when we're talking about the armor of God, these pieces are given to us for the purpose of fighting against who? Who's our? See, that's one of the most important points. And going into battle, you need to know who your enemy is. You need to know who you're fighting against. And he very explicitly tells us, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Men, in this sense, are not our enemy. Our brothers and sisters out here in the world that believe different things than we do, they're not our enemy. The enemy and it says the wiles of the devil. You ever think about the word wiles? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's a term we don't use very often, the wiles. But if you look the word up, and I printed it off here in the bottom of my Bible, it means deceitful, cunning, trickery. Think about that. The word wile means a deceitful, cunning trickery. You know, he is our enemy he's smart in a lot of ways, which is meant to, these cunning trickery, these things that he's doing to us, they're meant to entice us or lure us away from following the Lord Jesus Christ. And he leads us into a path of sin. So, he has many tricks. He has many aces up his sleeve, or whatever you call it. But there's many things that we need to be watching for. And that's why he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. What's a principality? Well, it's a realm, ruled over by a prince. That's about as simple as you can get. Against the powers, against powers, or those have authorities, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness. When we think about the, I want to turn over it's the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians to kind of give you an idea about this piece. Now notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. And that the very thought there is that I know that you already know this, but we are at war. We are at war. Not against people and people out there. There is a lot of wickedness out there. A lot of evil out there. But it says, our warfare is not against people. Our warfare is against spiritual wickedness. The devil is our enemy. Now it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. If you go out, we're not going to be fighting with the sword or a knife or a gun. We're going to be fighting with the armor. Now, by the way, I want you to pay attention. He says, put on the whole armor of God. This armor is given to us by God. It's given to us as gifts. It's given to us that we may protect ourselves from the evil out there in the world. But it's our responsibility to put it on. I mean, God's not going to put it on. He's provided it for us, but we're to put it on and wear it. So he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Notice it. But mighty through God. Listen, we're in 1 Corinthians 10 right now. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What's a stronghold? It's a place that's fortified. It's a place that has soldiers and everybody around there. And it's our job to conquer. Notice it's casting down imaginations. This is what our armor is for. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, that's a tall order, isn't it? Reading again, that it said casting down imaginations. There's a lot of things that we imagine that never happens. But there's a lot of evil imaginations and things out there in the world. Every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Everything that is, evil and righteousness are the Lord Jesus Christ and the devil are on opposite ends. They are enemies to each other. And we are soldiers in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, when we go into battle, we have to be prepared. I know that when we take these pieces of armor, now notice it says, wherefore, I'm back in Ephesians, wherefore take to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. Do you suppose this is an evil day? You know, think about the Apostle Paul that was back then. He wrote these things back then, and I don't think things have gotten any better than they were back then. I mean, you look around and all you have to do is turn on the TV or read the newspaper. There are people out there in the world that literally hate us. They are bitter enemies. There are bitter enemies. Now notice it says, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, and having done all, stand. The word stand means to don't give in. Now, there's by the way, there's seven of these pieces. Seven pieces of this armor. Seven being, in the scriptures, the number of completeness. So this is a complete armor that we may be protected from the wickedness in the world. And we are to stand against the devil. It says, resist him. Submit yourselves to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We need to know what his tactics are. We need to know what and by the way, if we don't put on this whole armor, for instance, we have our loins girt about with truth. The loins is our midsection. And it says over in 1 Peter that we're to gird our loins, the loins of our mind, and be sober and hope to the end for the grace of God. We're to gird up our minds and our loins, the mind. Now, and stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. You know, you ask the question, well, what does that mean? Truth. What is truth? Well, truth, by the way, is everything outside of lies. I mean, you say, well, then that's kind of strange. But a lie it will never be the truth. A lie, you can't turn a lie into truth. Truth will always be the same. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If it's a truth today, it'll be true tomorrow, and so forth. So when we look at the word truth, and we've tried to preach to you about truth, but Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. This is the truth, that we have 66 books of truth, but it says we're to gird our loins about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. That covers our heart, our vital item, our vital organs. And righteousness is being obedient and doing the things that God has said. We have no righteousness of our own, do we? Do you have any righteousness? He said all of our righteousnesses in Isaiah 64 are filthy rags. So we don't have anything. We have no strength. If you think that you can overcome this enemy in your own strength, then he's already got you partly down. I know you're all familiar with the story of David and Goliath, aren't you? Most of us, as children, we heard these stories, and I want to read to you a little bit about and showing you how powerful our enemy is. And this is in 1 Samuel chapter 17. But we know the story, how that David came out, and here was the armies of God that were just frightened to death because of this giant of a man. By the way, he's probably around 9 and a half feet tall, a huge man, and just the sight of that guy made the armies of God tremble, and they were, and he's enticing them. Oh, send out your champion, whoever you've got, come out and he'll fight me, and whoever wins this battle, then we'll be your servant. In other words, if you win, I'll be your servant. If you win, you be mine. And so we're here, and David meets Goliath on the battlefield. And now notice the language. Verse 43, the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistines cursed David by his God. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, small g. The Philistine, he had, I mean, it was an insult. I mean, he was totally insulted that this is, you know, like he said, is this all you got? You know, here is this little wimp of a guy coming out here, and he doesn't even have a sword. He doesn't have anything, but he has a sling and a shepherd's bag. That's all he's carrying with him. And now notice the dialogue. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thee thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field. This is boasting, isn't he? Now, I am going to cut you into pieces. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. Who thou hast defiled. So David said, yeah, you're a pretty big guy. You got all the right stuff, but you come with the wrong power. Now notice he says, this day, this is David's boast to him. I don't think it was a boast. You don't have to boast if you're right, do you? So he says, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. Notice who's not, he didn't say, this day will I deliver you into my hand. David said, this day will the Lord deliver you into my hand. David gives the credit to, he knows where his strength is. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of this host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know. What's the purpose of all this? That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He said, the purpose, I'm not here to make myself a name. I'm here to glorify my captain. Now notice it says, and all of this assembly shall know that the Lord, and by the way, that's Jehovah, that the Lord saveth not with sword. The Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and I will give you And he will give you into my hands. So, and we know that the rest of the story, David puts his hand in, he had stopped along the way and had picked up some stones and he put them in his bag. I kind of feel like, I don't know, a stone. I kind of feel like maybe it may have been about as big as your fist. But anyway, he put them in this shepherd bag as he was walking across the brook and so forth. And he picked those up and David put his hand in the shepherd bag. And he took thence a stone and put it in his sling. What did you think of that? And now think about where was, I want you to see that God directed the stone. God directed the stone. And it smote the Philistines in his head, that the stone didn't just hit him. It hit him and it sunk in his head right here, like that. and he fell flat on his face. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistines and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. And what did David do? You know, notice that there didn't have a sword. Well, where's he going to get a sword? He goes over there, and there's, I can imagine, you go and read the sword is probably this big, and David goes in there and goes, and he gets up, he stands on him. He stands on this giant of a man. He takes that sword and cuts his head off. Now I want you to see, you say, well, that's kind of bloody and ugly, brother. Well, I want you to understand what this is representative of. Goliath represents our enemy. Goliath represents the devil. Goliath represents everything evil. And David represents the Lord Jesus Christ and all that's good. And the point here is that David did not go in his own strength. He went with the power of God, and the very thing that the giant boasted that he was going to do to David, it got done to him, didn't it? He cut off his head with his own sword. Now, David wasn't a very big guy. He didn't need to be very big. But, and the question this morning, do you have any giants in your life? Do you have anything in your life that you might need some help delivering you from? Now, God has given us these pieces of this armor that we may fight against the things out there. Now, you say, well, what are some of those things? Well, let's go back. Let's just flip back over here to the chapter right before this one. Matter of fact, you just have to flip the page over to Galatians chapter five. We like to quote 5 and 22 down below that, which is the fruit of the Spirit is all these different things. But there's a lot of things up above that. Notice, and I want you to see this. This I say then. Now, this is pretty easy to say, isn't it? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Just walk in the Spirit. Brother Tom, just walk in the Spirit. Just do it. I mean, it's a lot easier to say that, but it's not very easy to do, because we have the enemy all around us, and it's a continual battle. Notice what he said, for the Spirit, the flesh lusts against the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Seems like there's a war going on in there, isn't there? Where's this warfare? Where's it going on at? It's in here, in our souls. And I want you to understand that the only one that has the ability to overcome this enemy is somebody that has been born of God's Spirit. The natural man out here, he has no defense. Well, why in the world would the devil go after him when he already has him? He's not after. The devil isn't after those people. He's already under their power. They're already under his authority. He's after you and you and you and you, and especially me. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. They're total opposites of it. They're continually fighting. There's two natures. We as God's born again children of God, we have two natures inside of it. We have the old carnal nature that loves sin. I'm telling you, you say, well, I don't like sin. Well, your nature does. Your old man does. And it's contrary to the Spirit of God. And he says, and these are contrary one to the other. Notice, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You cannot do the things that you would. The apostle said this in Romans chapter 7. He said, I find that in me dwelleth, there's another law. He said, when I would do good, when I want to do good, evil is present with me. How to perform that which is good, I find not. So he confessed, he said, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And he's made to cry out. He's made to cry out. Oh, wretched man that I am. You say, well, it's oh, wretched man that I used to be. Nah, you still are. You still have the same carnal nature. And I want you to understand, unless you have the Spirit of God inside of you, you have no defense. You have nothing to fight with. The only ones that has this armor, this is a Christian armor. This is the armor that God gave to us as a gift. But it's our responsibility to wear it. But he goes on and he says, so that you cannot do the things. But if we be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, here's the things that fight us. Here's our enemies. Now, the works of the flesh is manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you say, well, brother, that's people out there. No. What did it just say? We're fighting against these things. They're out there. And you see, I've quoted this several times this past week, but it says over I know I'm skipping around a lot, and y'all hope y'all pray for me. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, who is the subject under address? The elders which are among you, I exhort. Exhort. Who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. We as the minister, God called ministers, our job is to feed the flock of God, which is given to us, and to take the oversight thereof. We're to be able, the ministers are like guards, they're watchmen on the wall, and we're supposed to be able to look out there and see an enemy if he's coming, and we're to warn you about these things. And that's what he says, not by constraint, but willingly, not of filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's head. Ministers are not the bosses of this church. And the word minister means a servant. We are called to serve you. Now notice he comes on, and I know there's a lot to be said about. Now notice verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I need to read verse 6, because notice it says, humble yourselves. What's that mean? Get out of your way. Get out of your own way, brother. Get out of your own way. Humble yourselves and suck it up, buttercup, and quit going around making out like you're something that you're not, and being able, brothers and sisters, it's important that we understand that we have no strength at all without God. You are putty in the hand of this enemy. You tell Brother Gary I used this phrase. We are to suck it up when the time comes. And what are we supposed to do? If we read this armor, there is no protection. There's nothing to cover your rear back here. It's all forward. You turn and run, and you're going to get shot in the backside. There is no place. Brother Gene will tell you, and all of you others, what is the penalty for cowardice in the face of the enemy? So if you're in war, will you confess with me this morning that we're in war? We are at war. Not with anybody out there, but with the evil that's in the world. And we cannot turn and run away. Oh, it's easy. That'd be really easy. I don't like this. I'm getting out of here. I'm out of here. I don't need this stuff. It's so easy. It'd be so easy. Just throw in the towel and run off. But when you do that, you have given him you have given over to him. Now notice, I'm trying to get to a point. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, that's your enemy. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. He says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing. Now, this is an important point. You think, well, I've nobody ever had anything like this. You just don't understand, brother. I don't know. There's nobody ever had this kind of trouble. You know, we've seen that. The trouble I've seen. There's nobody that's ever had such trouble as me. Woe is me. Poor me. Poor little old me. Notice the admonition of the resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions that are in you are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We're all in this together. We must resist, and when we look at all these different pieces that are here, and I've only just scratched the surface. Notice verse, there's five pieces, and I exhort you, I beg you to study these things and study the details of these pieces. But, how many of you would go out into battle without what's a combat boots? You ever heard of them? Combat boots. They come up to here. They're not tennis shoes. They're not flip flops. These are boots that are to protect your feet, that protect your chin. But when you look at this from the stem, and if you go back into the armor back there, the leggings, they come way up here. How many of you would go out into battle without your shoes on? That's ridiculous, Brother Al. Well, do we ever do it? Do we ever go into battle without our shoes? I'm not talking about shoes on these natural feet. I'm talking about shoes that we... Now notice this, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. How do we do that? This is talking about our walk. This is not how we walk. We're to walk according to the instructions of our king, our captain. We're to follow his orders. We're to follow His principles and his ways. So when we're talking about the gospel of peace, think about that. We at one time, before we were born in the God's Spirit, we were enemies to Him. We were enemies. But because of our Lord Jesus Christ, He came and He made peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He reconciled us. We've talked about that last week, about how that He brings us who are enemies. He died for His enemies. You know, He says, blessed are those people that would lay down their lives for their friends. But He said, more blessed are they that would... I mean, Jesus died for His enemies, those that hated Him. And He brought us together. He is... So think about the gospel of peace. Walk in that way. Then He says, above all. When He says above all, I believe He may be above all. That means this perhaps may be the most important one of them. If He says, this is above all these others, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, I don't know what you have in mind when you see a picture, but I look this word up, and you don't need to know what the Greek word is, but it means a door shield. A shield that's as big as a door. It comes, and you hold it up, and when you hold it out here, it covers your entire body. Now, I want you to think about how this shield is used. It says, by this shield, faith. What does it say about faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't go out into the world and fight this enemy without your shield. I want you to think about this. We're talking about a shield as big as a door. I mean, when they go out into battle, here they are, thousands of them across here like this, and they all have their shields. They literally are a walking wall. They're a walking wall. And the enemy shoots at them, and the arrow just bounce off. That's what our faith is. That's what our faith is, that shield to hold it up in front of Him. When they were being shot at, they go out and they're trying to besiege a city, and the people are shooting arrows over the wall at them. What do? Put their shields on top like this. And all those, I mean, they literally, they when they're walking, they have their walking wall, but when they're out there, when they're shooting at them, they have a covering over their head. You see? So how important is the shield of faith? It says, by which we quench all the fiery darts. What's a fiery dart? It's an arrow on fire. I mean, that doesn't take, I mean, they shoot fire at you. And his whole purpose is to defeat you. I mean, he'd like to just maybe defeat you with one arrow. Sometimes it doesn't even take hardly anything to get us off track. All right, the next one is the helmet. Helmet covers your head. Not only your head, it covers your eyes and your nose and your mouth. This helmet, it says, take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. These are defensive pieces of armor. Helmet. Keeps your head from getting hurt. And inside of this helmet is your brain. I mean, all you have to do is get, if somebody hits you in the head and you don't have your helmet on and you get brain damage, you're just walking around it don't take a whole lot to get your head all messed up. Just maybe a little hit on the head will get you disorientated and the devil's got you where he wants you. So we put our helmet on, which is the helmet of salvation. What protects us in our head? Believing that Jesus Christ, first of all, is the eternal Son of God. Wouldn't that be good if you could just put that up there and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus is my Savior. Or however it is that you want to defeat him. But we got to remember that God is the God of the Creator. He's the Creator God. He's the one that is in charge of all of our things. And Jesus died for our sins. And he's on the right hand of God. He's there today making intercession for us. We have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus the righteous. Put that on your head. Put them things in your mind. And you can win the battle. But don't go out into the battle out here without your helmet on. And the sword of the Spirit. Oh, I love this one. Which is the Word of God. This is not the Spirit, but it's the sword of the Spirit. You can take this Word of God. And by the way, I've looked at the different swords that they had. There is a Roman sword, which is two-edged. It's not this long. It's about maybe 24 inches long, but it's double-edged. You can go, and you can go, and you can kill the enemy with either way you go. And we have 66 books in this Bible, 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. And you can use the old or the new. You can get the devil with either one. This is the sword of the Spirit. We're walking the Spirit, and we're to take this word with us wherever we go. Take the word with you. And when you take the word with you, what did Jesus do? Remember when he was, the old devil was over there 40 days and 40 nights. It's, oh, the Lord over there tempting him. And the Lord said, and he just used the word of God on him. Thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He said, well, cast her down. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You see, Jesus used the word of God to defeat the devil. And how are we going to use this sword if it's dull? You got to sharpen it. Boy, this guy right here, he knows how to sharpen a knife. He'll sharpen those knives. He'll say, be careful, those are sharp. We need to keep our sword sharp. And how do we do that? By meditating, by reading, by studying, by putting these things into our lives. And how are you going to know how to fight with your sword if you don't use it? You say, well, I don't want people to think I'm a fanatic. Why not? Paul was. Don't be ashamed to tell people what the Word of God says. That's how, I mean, there's all kinds of ways that he can come to us, the enemy can come to us. But if we'll just say, Jesus is my Savior, I'm trusting in him and not in me. You know, I use this a lot. When I was in college, and I didn't, believe it or not, I did go a few days. Think about, I'm going to give you one. You can use this. It works. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3:5. Brother Don, I used to quote that so much, Brother Don Wynn made me a plaque. It's on my,
in my study. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. And it says, He shall direct your paths. And, well, there's a part of that I want to read. Sister Baylor was looking at the Proverbs this morning. There's some more of that I want to get for you because it's important. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. This is the part I couldn't get. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Does that get you in trouble? Do you ever get in trouble by thinking you're something when you're not? He said, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. That's what walking in the Spirit is. Righteousness. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with first fruits of thy increase. That's important, isn't it? So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Now then, I've gone through these things so fast. Now, as I said, 7 is the complete number. What's the last piece? This meant, you know, he said that taking the shield of spirit. I'm not sure that this one is not. This one is both offensive and defensive. The last piece of this armor is prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. He always puts that in there, doesn't he, Mick? When we pray, we're to pray, praying that God would bless our hearts, but we're looking to Him, praying in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication in the saints, for all the saints. The word perseverance is in the Bible one time, right here. And it means to continue on faithful, to continue to, and now the principles are in all over, but the word perseverance itself is here. It means to continue faithful, to persevere means to stand. That's what he's in. I am going to stand against my enemy. I'm not going to turn and run away. And when we find him after us, we stop and think, okay, what part of my armor am I missing this morning? But prayer, you know, Brother Gene back there at the back, I keep mentioning him because I'm not going to be able to talk about him much more. But anyway, if you're in the battle and you can cut off your line of communication, so you can't talk to your general, you can't get any in, you can't get any messages back to headquarters, you can't do any, and so this is cutting off your communication line. Prayer is our communication line. And when you, if you can somehow, you know, and he'll get you down to the point where I don't even want to, and you don't even want to pray if he's already got you. And you know how we get out of the problem is to send a message to our headquarters and send, he'll send some reinforcements for you. He'll send the Holy Spirit to deliver you. So if the enemy can cut off your line of communication, he got you. Gotcha. Prayer is a one-on-one relationship with your Father. We have so many prayers in the Scriptures, but the one that He's given us to pray is, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We always must be prefacing our prayers with, thy will be done. And a lot of people, they change the words, and just about every one of them, change the word in to on. But the Scripture says, in earth. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Yeah, this is something that we need. This is the daily bread, by the way, and we need it every single day. Every day. We don't have one bit of problem feeding our bodies, but we let our souls go hungry. How do we feed? We feed it with the Word of God. We feed it with prayer. We feed it with communication with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But he says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Evil. I mean, just, you know, we sang a song, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. Just put the name Jesus out there in front of the old devil. He don't like Jesus' name. Jesus is my Lord. You don't have one. But you know, the thing about it is, we are to pray with all prayer. Prayer is so important. The apostle says to those in Thessalonica, he says, pray without ceasing. That means all the time. We're not doing, brother, you can't go around praying all the time. I'm not talking about being down here. I'm talking about with an attitude of prayer continually, every moment of our life. We're to walk around and say, Lord, thank you. And when something comes, Lord, help me deliver me from this evil that's here. And continually having the Lord continually in the front of our minds, so that we don't have to, you know, people say, well, if you haven't used this piece of your armor very long, you might have to sharpen it up a little. I don't think anybody here this morning says, I'm all prayed up. Did you ever get all prayed up so I don't need to pray tomorrow? I'm good today. Prayer is the communication with our Father. He says, pray without ceasing. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. May the Lord bless you this morning. I know that this has been rather scattered, but I bid you, I exhort you to go and read these pieces. These are God's pieces that He's given us so that we can get the victory over the enemy. Help us. You need to pray for me that God would keep me. If we look at that scripture in 1 Peter 5, the context, Brother Tom, when he says the devil is a roaring lion, he hasn't changed the context from the part up here. He's talking to the ministers. And if he can get if the devil can get a shepherd, if he can conquer the shepherd, then the where does that leave the flock? He says the enemy will come and he smite the shepherd, and the flock will scatter. I want you to think about and be thankful to God for the peace that we have among our church here. And you need to be praying for your pastors, or me and Brother Andy and Brother Mark, that God would keep us. The Apostle Paul said in another place, he said, I keep my body and I bring it under subjection, lest I myself, when I preach to others, become a castaway. There is a possibility that we could be devoured by this enemy and be totally cast off. It happens a lot, more than you want to admit. But Satan is after me, and he's after you. So how are we going to get along? How are we going to do this? We're going to take this armor, and we're going to wear it so that the devil can't get us.